Welcome to Listen to Older Voices, a program produced for Uniting Melba and podcast through the Toorak Times. It's always a pleasure to bring you, through their stories, the life and times of older people in our community. All very interesting, all very different, and all very entertaining. This is a special Baby Boomers edition. Hi, I'm Rob Greaves, and it's a delight to host this third and final program featuring the life and times story of Grant Young. Grant is a genuine baby boomer, as he was born in 1949 and brought up in West Geelong. Over the past two shows, we've learned a lot about Grant, who never completed a solid education, having left school at 14, but for whom learning is not just important, but is a lifelong activity. We've learned that Grant is a man of conviction, and his convictions would all seem to be grounded in reality. He's the first to admit his interpersonal skills haven't been the best, especially when it comes to marriage, having been divorced from his first wife and separated from his second. Yet, as he shares his thoughts, he reveals a man who has, with help, been able to assess himself and to have developed a good insight into what makes him tick. This week's program continues to reinforce this as he shares how he's developed an understanding of not just his own behaviours, but those of others. We spend some time discussing COVID lockdown and the impact this has had upon him. As a result, Grant willingly shares with us his various ideas he's formed for reconnecting with his community, something that is probably of an issue with many older people. Finally, Grant touches upon the issues of vaccination, anti-vaxxers, and conspiracy theories. One thing you can't be certain of, there's no dead moments in this program. We start with Grant and I discussing the issues around insight and behaviour.
Yeah, so we talk a bit on the phone. Don't see her very much. I've got to get some affidavit signs to put the divorce before the court, which is... This is probably the sadder part of my life, but geez, I had 15 good years with her. I'm not sure that one cancels out the other.
I don't think it does.
At all, but at least I'm grateful that that was the...
You're showing a lot of insight, Grant. I mean, you know, a lot of things you've said then indicate a man who's fairly aware of not only himself, but, you know, of relating to other people. Has that always been the way, or is that something you've gained over the last few years, this ability to just see inside yourself as well as others?
I think I've always had reasonable vision for understanding others. Understanding myself came a lot later.
Right. Yeah. I think we're still about the same age, give or take a few years, a little bit older than you, not much older. I think it takes a certain ageing period to start getting that understanding, doesn't it? It's something that just comes as you do get older. Not to everybody, though.
Yeah. I think you need to be bruised and battered.
Yes.
The last couple of years has certainly been that, and I noticed that's accelerated in myself. Mm. And also I had a very good counsellor when it all blew up, who managed to assure me, no, it wasn't all your fault, even though that's... You blamed yourself for everything throughout your life and looked at that. And so I still, from time to time, think about that and think about me and why do I do that and why do I think that? Which I've found quite valuable to do, and I'm probably a bit more ease with myself. I chuckle at myself every night when I get into bed. I feel totally comfortable with the world and everything around, and I get out my book, read for a bit, go to sleep. And I think a lot of it is because even though life has been difficult the last few years, I'm a lot more at ease with myself than I have been.
Indeed. What impact has COVID had on you over the last few years? Well, last 18 months. Has that changed your life in any way?
Loneliness, maybe, mainly.
Because you... Yeah. How long have you been living here on your own, roughly?
Oh, I've been here longer than COVID.
Longer than COVID?
I'm not sure exactly. Yeah.
But even so, so you've been on your own, but COVID made it even more difficult, didn't it? Because there was a period there where you couldn't even basically go outside, let alone have everybody in.
And I was a member of one group, and that virtually closed up because we couldn't get together. So that meant I was thrown back to here. I mean, uniting's been a very big help to me because I'm on a number of phone groups, quizzes, and I still like to learn. I don't mind getting one or two wrong because I'll learn something out of that, and that sort of thing has been good and fun. And that really, they were lifesavers to a fair degree because otherwise I'd be, other than talking to both daughters, which I love doing, obviously, there wasn't anyone else. I don't have close friends here. You move in. Not close friends that you can invite in time to think, yes. But you couldn't have invited people in anyway.
That's right.
So you were really quite stuck. And part of my habit also used to be when I'd go and do the shopping, I'd stop off at the cafe, and I knew the guy there, talk to him, you know, and sort of build things that way. So now I've really got to rebuild a whole life is what it is, and I don't know that that's possible in the way that I would want it, but who knows?
Well, I think what you're experiencing, I'm damn sure you're not doing it alone. I mean, I think there'll be a lot of people out there feeling and thinking the same things now. Life has changed for a lot of people. Mm. And it is about rebuilding and reconnecting. And it's not easy to say, but not easy to do.
No, unless all the groups can get back that you want. I mean, the key is, where do you find these people you want for friends?
Mm.
They're not going to walk past your front door and knock and say, "Here we are. I'll be your friend."
Yeah,
you know?
That's right.
So you need to have access to various groups, whether it's University of the Third Age or some book club or a support group, to have an influx of people into your life. And without them running, particularly in our age group, it's going to be very, very hard for people to do that. And not everybody is still living in the area they were brought up in.
Oh, goodness.
I've lived in a few areas. And I laugh at myself. People say to me, "Oh, no, that's in such and such road." "And where is that?" "But don't you live in Mornington?" "Yeah."
Yeah,
but I've never been there.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
So it's, yeah.
You mentioned about finding other groups. You mentioned University of Third Age. Is that a place you've ever considered joining?
Yeah, I have. I didn't understand at first that you had to be a member before you could do a course.
True.
I just thought you could, you know, they had summer courses and that. And so I just rang the office, and the first time they only had some man from 10 till 12, I think it was, and the next day it was close to the end of January. So
yes,
I'm going to have a look at the whole thing and try and work out the form that we've got to fill out and see where we go. That'd be one thing. I wouldn't mind looking at something like, maybe even Probus or something. It's just somewhere where there's people. I don't know that I need intimate relationships. I certainly wouldn't be looking at another woman in my life. But you never know what happens, but I wouldn't be looking
in that direction. Yes.
I think the key thing I found during COVID was having something to look forward to. Yes. Even if it was just a phone call here and there, or on the odd occasions when we could get back to a group I belong to because we weren't locked in anymore. And it's having that sort of, good, you know, I can go there on Tuesday and probably so-and-so will be there. And you don't have to actually do it, but you need to see a future.
Absolutely. Yourself. Yes.
The future's just the next day.
Yes, yeah.
Listen to older voices, reliving the spirit of Australia.
I'm Rob Greaves, and I'm talking with Grant Young. And Grant is covering a range of issues, including how he dealt with COVID and the lockdown. COVID has had an impact on us in so many ways that it's split off a part of our whole society. We have people who don't believe in that COVID exists or don't believe in getting vaccinated. What are your thoughts on those sorts of issues?
I've been vaccinated since I was a small boy.
Like most us boomers. Yeah. It was part of our being brought up, wasn't it?
The way it was. And I can remember the fear of my parents on things like scarlet fever and measles and polio.
The old polio was a bad one, yes.
And how I can remember at odd times being told, no, you can't go and play with so-and-so. You have to stay here for a bit. And they would have had scarlet fever. I remember a little boy over the road, he died of scarlet fever, actually, which was very sad. And I knew others that caught polio. But because I think the people who are against it haven't seen what happens with these sort of illnesses and what can happen during with COVID even, that they just think that it's not needed. Conspiracy theories, I really can't say what I think.
What you'd like to say, yes. We'll fill in the blanks there.
There'd be a few entries in the death's notice in the Sun. I can remember the first time a stranger opened up to me about a conspiracy theory, and it was, I'd been doing groceries, I was living up in, I was shopping in Gisborne anyway, and I came out and I could see the vapour trail from a plane.
Right.
And I always look up and see the plane. And I'm standing, this nicely dressed gentleman, probably be about our age now, this is a few years ago, who he said, you know, that's all part of a CIA plot, don't you, to poison us. And I just looked at him and I thought, well, you look sane. That's what I thought.
Yeah, okay.
And I went and took my groceries and I just thought, and I kicked myself. As soon as I got in the car, I thought the moment he talked about the CIA wanting to poison us, I should have not asked a what question, but a why question. Why do they want to poison us? If I get into a conversation here and then, I've had one in a doctor's surgery once, I thought I really need a doctor after this person was spouting on.
Sorry and, for laughing. It's funny, but it's not funny.
It's not
too
funny. And, no. and I just said to him, why? He said, what do you mean? I said, why? Why do they want to do this? Well, that's what I've read. Yeah, but why?
So why do you
believe it? There's got to be a reason. Yeah. I said, look, mate, I'm quite happy if you have to have your opinions, but I'm not going to accept anything that hasn't got any logic. I said, I'm sorry about that, but that's where it is. Well, he got a bit huffy and sat there, and I thought, well, that's good.
Yes.
and I wasn't trying to be rude to
him.
I just thought, you're insulting my intelligence, yes, what there is of it, and it doesn't need it.
Yeah. Sadly, there's no vaccination against stupidity.
No. I made up the saying, the problem, you can't convince a stupid person that they're wrong simply because they'll be too stupid to see it.
That sums it up, doesn't it?
Sort of what happens, I think.
Mm, it does.
Some of them would be hilarious if they weren't affecting people. Well, even going back to the moon landing, it was all done in a...
Oh, yes. A movie lot or something.
Yeah. And I'm thinking, why?
Yes.
And I think that one of the things we've all got to develop, and I'm developing it a bit more, is I don't care.
That's another thing that comes with age, doesn't it?
Yeah, I don't care. I've got two grandkids. One's near seven. Austin's 3.5 to 4. He's 4. And all I want is a good world for them, a world that they can make their way through and enjoy their life. Anything else going around, yes, I'll support things that... I'll be against things that are wrong and quite happy to help out, but I don't need to worry about it. I just need to do the best I can and the world will be what it will be.
You mentioned Austin and his brother, and looking at them and even further grandchildren of any person around us, what are the things that you fear most for them as they grow up? What is it that concerns you for them on their behalf when you look at the world they're growing up into?
It's an interesting question. I fear that they will not have great socialising ability. I think if you can socialise well, it can take you anywhere. They're very much into their IT. They've got two mothers, and my daughter's an assistant principal at a primary school, and Shell, her partner, she's the actual birth mother, and they're pretty good with them. They have some marvellous ideas here and there, and the kids do it, and that's really good. But I don't know how you can learn to socialise face to face. I mean, it's nothing like the touch of a human being. There's nothing like their smell, if you like, all the things that come with our bodies and also come with our brain. But you're not going to get that if you're just looking at a screen. No matter, it's like Facebook, and someone tells you, you know, Deb's kids used to say this, you know, oh, I've got 655 friends. And I'd say, and how many of them do you think will come round to put this house out if it catches fire? Huh? And I'd repeat it, and they'd just look at you. I said, well, that's what real friends do.
Yes, it's Facebook and social media really has redefined words for their own sake, hasn't it? I mean, you're right. And to be honest, I think 600 or whatever the number was can be small. I've seen people, you know, bragging that they've got several thousand friends. Oh. They're not friends, are they? The people have forgot what friends are.
Well, all they are names that boost your ego. Yeah, and I don't knock that.
No, like, no, it has its place. Life,
we need
balance.
Yeah,
it has balance. Its place. Yeah, but that bar, we need balance. Good and word.
And that's the thing that I sort of, I think they'll do all right, but I wonder about their contemporaries as to how that will go. And what do we do with politicians that can't socialise? Well, what do we do with even doctors, nurses, because they've been brought up on this and they haven't sat down and talked with people and that sort of thing? I'm sure, and they'll be talking and dealing with people who are exactly the same as them. And yeah, it'd make a good movie.
Well, I think we've identified a really, really strong thing that this issue of socialisation that should concern a lot of people. But let's move from to the environment. We talked about when you were a kid how healthy life was, how the air was clean, how things around us were. We never thought about pollution. There would have been some, but not like we've got now. Where do you think that's all heading?
Well, I think that all comes out of socialisation or lack of it. If you know and you understand and you have feelings for people, you will have feelings for what's around in your world. You will have feelings about the ecology and those sort of things if you can lock yourself away from it, you know. I mean, we've got a government at the moment which makes me shake my head with Christensen and people like that who just parrot on endlessly about rubbish, and it is rubbish. But like it or not, we voted him in. So I know he's one that pops up regularly, but there'll be a few more in there.
Oh, yeah, believe it.
It's a bit like mole whacking. There's always another mole underneath.
And sticks their head up.
They stick their head up, you can whack it, you know. Yep. And then you've got Morrison, who stands for nothing. And I think if you really stripped him naked as to his religious belief, he doesn't believe anything either. I think you'll find it's a like a comfortable cloak. It's not something you put on so you feel better. And I think we've got a lot of people around who, they used to say that John Howard was a conviction politician. Well, I'd say that to a point. He was a brilliant politician. That doesn't mean I think he was a great prime minister, but he was the best politician that I've seen. But you can be a politician, you can do your politics, but it doesn't mean that you grow anything or build anything, or you can take people with you. And this is where I look at all the stuff out there that we've got. We need men and women who are conviction people. They don't have to be politicians, but they have the ability to fire up people or to
enthuse
people's minds to things.
Have a vision themselves that they can share. I don't see it out there in any party.
All great leaders worldwide had a vision. You might... I've been reading a bit on Adolf Hitler lately. Now, he had a vision that I wouldn't want, but he had a vision, and that's what caught the people up. Mm. And his vision was they'd have work and they'd restore the pride of Germany, and if you sort of know your history, you know Germany was very poor and people lacked work and everything. And unfortunately, it veered off into an area that probably makes us all feel ill as to where it went. But he had a vision. And there's been a lot worldwide. Many of the Southeast Asian leaders have had visions which have improved a lot of their country. And there are some that have been dangerous, I suppose.
Definitely.
But I can't see anybody coming through that has it. We were told, you know, there's been a big push to have women more prominent, and I think that's a good thing, but what sort of woman, and what does she believe, and what's she, you know, going to do? It's like all the stuff on partner violence and family violence. I spent 10 years in community health as a housing support worker, and I'm here to tell you that's not one way. It goes both ways. There are women that assault their partners and cause other forms of horrors, as men that do. We need to understand that we're becoming a violent society and I am, or a singular society, and we carry it out on each other, male or female. And until we acknowledge where we are as a society, we're not going to solve anything. You're not going to solve the problem of men involved in domestic violence, or you're not going to solve the problem of women being involved. The last I heard, male and female were both human. It's a human problem we've got, not a gender problem. You can hang any tag on it you like. And I used to see some men that come in had been stabbed by partners, some women had been belted, others that just had, well, psychological torture, if you like, perpetrated on them. And until we can understand that you're as precious as me, and live that way, we're not going to solve what's going on.
No, and I think that the problem is so enormous and large. I think the best we can agree on at this moment is that we can't solve it in the next few minutes. It's something that society has to recognise first and then deal with.
Recognise that it's going to be generational and it's going to take education.
And this is Listen to Older Voices. Ageless Stories on Ageless Radio.
Our time is nearly up. I'd like to just explore very quickly one other thing. You mentioned you had a stroke fairly recently. I sit here looking at you and you look very well. You are very aware. You look very alive.
So, I'm pleased I look very alive.
Yeah, rather than partially alive. But look, to me it looks like unless you happen to go down the road and get hit by the bus that happened to be driving past, you've still got a few more years left in you yet. Where do you see Grant in the next 5, maybe 10 years' time? What would you like to do and achieve?
I'm not really quite sure, to be honest. I mean, once the marriage, when it's sort of, I found it very difficult to move on, and COVID too, of course, is knocked things better. Around. I mean, I always look better than what I am. In there, you'll find there's a nice little battery thing that kicks my heart when it needs to. In the last, 15 years, I've had triple bypass. I've had non-Hodgkin's lymphoma.
Wow.
Had a stroke. I take enough tablets that I'm thinking of taking them with sweetener or sugar for breakfast. Save some money on whatever. But I always seem to look well, and I always seem to get through which amazes me.
So what are some of the things you would like to do then, all things being equal?
I've got something just very, very simple. I'd like to do a part-time job.
Well, that's not a big ask, is it?
And socialise, be able to socialise more. They're the things, because I don't have any huge ambitions. I was a priest in the Anglican Church for quite a number of years.
Goodness, we didn't explore that one.
I don't have anything to do with the church much now, so that wouldn't interest me going back. I just like to spend my time probably supporting and helping people, is in a nutshell, whether that was to go and do a few hours in an op shop, or whether that was to join a group, or whether that was just the lady next door. Yeah, I don't have a huge vision. I do certainly want to see changes in the society that we live in, from as we talked before about politicians, from there down. So I've, an opportunity come up for something where I thought I could make things a bit better.
Yeah, you say you don't have any large vision, but I think you said to me, sitting opposite you right now, I think one of the most important things you said was that you'd like to help people. And to me, sometimes it's a quality, not a quantity thing. And I think if you can find something where you can help people, that's a massive thing
yeah.
in the future, isn't it?
I think you need to. It took me years and years to understand that when I did things for people, they also had to benefit me.
It has to be a good
because you get frustrated, you probably get angry, but also if it benefits you, it gives you a good feeling about yourself, and you continue to give more. And yes. I think that's important. Yeah,
Grant, I think that's a fantastic place for us to finish our talk together. Thank you very much for being on Listen to Older Voices. Listen to Older Voices is produced by Rob Greaves at the Melbourne Community Support Program on behalf of Uniting Victoria Tasmania. The program is funded from the Commonwealth and State Government's Home and Community Care Program and is brought to you through the Toorak Times.